This is Esposito for 7, where we turn the light on the finished work of Christ, and by that we try to equip you with the knowledge of His will so that you'll be able to apply the lessons of the resurrection and appropriate the blessings to yourself. And that's what we've been doing and will continue to do. Today is Easter Sunday, celebrated by some people. If you celebrate it or not, I just want to leave you with the admonition of Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, that says, "We that are in the light, we that are of the day, we should be clear-headed, we should be sober, protecting ourselves with the full armor of faith and love, wearing the helmet of the hope of our salvation, wearing the helmet, the hope of the resurrection, and it's wearing that confidence on your sleeve, the confidence of your salvation." And that's what we encourage you to do today, whether you celebrate Easter or not. You must be fully kitted, fully protected. We having the helmet of salvation, the hope of the resurrection, the confidence that you are eternally saved, you must have it on you, and that is what we're doing. Since we've been doing on prayers and the hammer getting kitted in place of prayer, like yesterday we talk about prayers that limit God, you know, that kind of things. That would do. We find God to be limitless, unlimited power, but you know, we saw yesterday that some prayers could actually limit Him. So we want to kick off from where we stopped yesterday. And if you missed that episode, you really need to go back to it to listen to it. Today is our 70th episode on Exposé. So you have a lot, because some people have been asking, where can I get the other thing? How easy it is to just look up and go to the Exposé 247 page on Facebook and get all these episodes. So we'll kick off today from where we stop.
Now, viewers, thank you again for tuning in on to this Exposé 247. Don't forget, we'll be on a knockout series on prayer. And, well, just to give you a kind of a bit of a snapshot so you understand how far we've come and where we're going to, we've actually began about, prayer quite some weeks now. We talk about prayer, and then we moved on to the missing ingredient in prayer, which is faith. And then we did go on to the point that every Christian does have faith. Without faith, you're not saved. And we said the key issue is about unbelief that negates our faith. And then again, we moved on beyond unbelief. We began to talk about what are the ways out, things that God has given us as the way that we can take out of unbelief. And then we began to look at the issue of how Jesus Christ Himself dealt with His own unbelief. And then that took us to temptation and the testing. And then we are presently in the second temptation of Christ. And this is not just about Christ. Again, it's all about you as well. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 that Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. It means the more you look at or understand Christ's temptation, you're looking at the things that you will go through on a daily basis and how you can walk in victory over them. So specifically today, we've been on with Psalm 78. Yesterday we talked about, what was that of yesterday then?
Prayers that
limit God. And we saw that in Psalm 78. So today we're making progress with that, and we're back to Psalm 78. Yesterday we talked about why if we test God, thinking we are trusting God, it can limit what God can do through us and in us. And please, I would encourage you to look for that transmission and listen to that, especially if you believe in the power and the potency of prayer. You need to listen to that yesterday's transmission. We talk about prayers that limit God. So today, we're making a leap forward in that Psalm 78. We're going to expand more in how do we pray in ways that actually limit God. How does it happen? Now let's go back to Psalm 78. Look at verse 41, which is the one we're going to actually look at today. Psalm 78, verse 41. Now, before we look at verse 41, I think there's a verse that might be of interest to you, which is Psalm 78, verse 17 and 18. Now, read verse 18, Psalm 78, 18, and then 41. Let's combine those two verses and get a picture that the Lord wants to show us this morning. What's
and
that?
And they tempted God in their hearts.
Now again, that word tempted means they tested God, yes, in their hearts, can you see?
By asking meat for their lust.
So yesterday we established that it is very possible that somebody is asking God for something, but the conclusion of the Holy Ghost is it's actually the testing of God. So we said yesterday that testing God and prayer can go together. And Psalm 78 verse 18 is a classical example of that, where people can think they are praying, but they are actually testing God. Now see what then verse 41 says.
It reads, "Yea, they turned back."
Now that's the word. They turned back and did what?
And tempted God.
And tested God.
And limited the Holy One.
So now we see a threefold connection. that the reason why God was limited in what he can do through them and in them is because they tested God. And he said, how did they test God? That's what we're going to zero in. He said, they turned back. Now, they reverse backwards. Now, that's the word. They what? Turned back. Now, if you check out the Israelites and their journey through the wilderness, there was never any time they physically turned back. In fact, in Massah and Meribah, in Exodus 17, that referred to where they tested God, he didn't tell us that they physically went back to what? To Egypt. There was no physical turning back, as it were. Mm-hmm. Also, in Numbers chapter 21, which is another episode that the Bible records that they tested God as well, when they asked for meat in their lust, there was no physical evidence that they physically, well, there was no evidence in the Bible that they physically turned back. Oh. So what does the psalmist mean by simply saying the reason why God could not do much with them is that even though they were praying, don't forget, verse 18 says they were praying. So this is not about just the volume of prayer. Verse 18 or Psalm 17 says they were praying. But in context, verse 41 gives us the report card of their prayer. It said they actually were turning back. I mean, how can you be praying and turning back? That's why we titled today's transmission, Stop Praying Backwards. Now, it means they were praying in verse 18, but the Bible says the very content of their prayer, the mentality of their prayer, the position they had in the place of prayer was actually a backward turn. They were reversing backwards. How can it be that somebody can be praying and reversing backward? Now, this is the reason. The fact is they already gained ground, because you don't turn backwards until we already ascertain the fact that you've actually what? Gained grounds. They were already what? They've already gained some grounds, but the Bible says what they were saying was just them turning back. So the question we're asking is, how can it be that somebody can be praying and yet turning back? And the reason why they're turning back should be of interest to you, because the Bible says for that very act, God was limited in what he could do with them. That's why this turning back thing is very, very important. Let's check out the New Testament testimony of this and see how this applies to our daily life today in this 21st century in the place of prayer.
Yeah, it is interesting to know that when you stop praying backward, that some prayers that you, when you're making some prayers, or making some prayer points, you're actually turning your back on the same person you're praying to, something like that. Mm. And then you highlighted that some, for you to be talking of turning backward, that means there was a forward facing before.
Oh, yeah.
That is, they have made a progress in a direction before. They have made that maybe linear movement before, for them to be changing their orientation.
Mm.
So that means there's a posture we assume in a place of prayer, or there's some perceptions and thoughts that goes to our hearts that can change our orientation. So it can disorientate us from the finished work. It can turn our, you know, turning our hearts back on that work, on the finished work of Calvary. So it's because we find that, just like if we find time to look at all the actual incidences where it happened in Numbers, they did not make actually a physical turning back. So there's the orientation of your mind that might be a backward turning. Mm. And that is what we are addressing today in this transition. So you would do well to listen to learn today how not to pray backward, so that you get orientated in space. We are talking about getting your orientation in space aright.
Mm. Thank you for that. Now, why are we talking about praying backwards? Now, let's go to the New Testament testimony to this. Don't forget we're talking about effectiveness in the place of prayer. The Bible said again in Psalm 78 that all their prayers asking God for meat was turning backwards. That's it. You can pray backwards. Do you have a testimony in the scriptures? Ephesians chapter 6. And let's see, we're back to the New Testament, the New Covenant, in the blood of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, let's see what it says from verse 10 about the Christian faith. About a Christian in the place of prayer. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. I'll read from verse 10. Okay. Now see what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is a very popular verse of the Bible.
Yes.
I mean, at least for those of us that believe in spiritual warfare. This is one of the most, you know, important part people quote a lot when it comes to warfare in the spirit. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Look at verse 11. It says, put on then the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what?
Stand
against the wiles of the devil. Now, this is a bit very strange, because for most of us, we don't dress up until we want to go somewhere. Can you see that? Mm-hmm. The reason why we put on the clothes, we put on the shoes, put on the belt, put on whatever kind of attire you put on, is because you're going somewhere. Nobody dresses up so that they can stand. Mm-hmm. People don't dress up to stand. They dress up to go out. Or to go somewhere. But the Bible says in the realm of the spirit, we dress up to stand.
Hmm.
It said, put on therefore the whole armor of God, not because you're going somewhere. He said, put it on there for the whole armor so you can stand. Now, who dresses up to stand? Oh, yes. That's the why. There is the reason why you have to dress up to stand. You see, in the new covenant, the Bible calls us a very special name, Romans chapter 8. It says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, why would the Bible say we are more than conquerors? Now, the question is, first, let's see, who is the conqueror? And who is the one that supersedes the conqueror? Now, a conqueror is a conqueror because he achieves victory, which means you have to break ground, you have to break through enemy lines, and you have to what? Actually achieve victory. And that's why we read books about wars and we watch war films, and conquerors have to achieve victory. Man, the reason why you are more than conqueror is because you never achieved any victory. Victory was thrown to you. you were given victory.
Plunged into it.
You didn't achieve victory. Conquerors achieved victory. So the Apostle Paul reminded a Christian, Romans chapter 8, you are not a conqueror. Don't let anybody tell you, tell somebody you are not a conqueror. The Bible says you are more than a conqueror. The realm of oppression of a Christian is not a conqueror realm of oppression. You are more than conqueror because you are you are victory. Entrusted to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, thanks be to God who leads us in what? In triumphant victory, procession in Christ Jesus. We were led through it. It means that he achieved it and he gave us the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. And if you are more than conqueror, if victory was given to you, if you didn't achieve victory, all you are called to do is to stand in it. Conquerors don't stand in victory. Conquerors have to achieve it. But those who are more than conquerors, who had the victory given to them on the plateau of faith, all they are asked to do is to stand
in it,
in that which was given. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, well, let's say this as we start. He says, simply put, you have to dress up then to do the standing. So let's dress up to do the standing. And you might be wondering, why do I need to dress up to do the standing? Because don't forget, we're talking about stop praying backwards. We are still on track. Why is that? Now, I want you to do something quickly. Or if you're opening your Bible there, just hold on to that and run quickly to verse 18. You see, from verse 11 to verse 17 tells about all the different regalia, all the things to put on. I mean, now that's not the focus today, because in some time in the future, we might have time to go through spiritual warfare. But at the moment, that's not the focus. He tells us all the different attires, helmets of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. I'm quoting verse 12, verse 13, verse 14. Why do we need to do all that? Check out verse 18. Look at verse 18. What does it say, verse 18?
Reads,
watch verse 18.
Praying always.
Can you see? The reason then, he told us to dress up to stand first, not to lose ground first, was because he was ultimately going to talk about prayer. So he was saying, for Christians who've not actually taken their stand from verse 11 to verse what? 17. And they want to just talk about prayer as a topic in verse 18, they are wasting their time. He's simply saying they've turned backwards. Because if you're not standing in the victory that Christ paid for, it's in the realm of the spirit, there are no neutral grounds. It's either you're standing or you're turning backwards. Either you're standing in that which was paid for that you were given, or you are turning backwards. So Paul knew there was no point praying what? Backwards. That's why he instructed a Christian. He says, see, from verse 11 to verse 17, I will teach you how not to lose grounds to the enemy. And it says, now that you have not lost ground to the enemy, in verse 18, let's talk about what? Prayer, so that you don't pray backwards. And that's what it's simply saying there.
I feel it is not difficult for people to get, you know, to understand that when you need to make some motions, make a movement, to run, now you need to be kitted. We see sports brand, they have outfit for running, for jumping, for all those actions, and that don't make you to be static, any kinetic motions, whether you're jumping. So they have appropriate gear for those, even for running. So it's easy to understand being clothed for that action. But being clothed for standing is so strange, at least in the human realm and everything. But we are going to apply the biblical sense into this, because as we find out this morning, that for us to stand, you really have to have the appropriate gear. Just like for you to run, you have to put on the things that is shaped for you running, to help you running. You see all those, you see the boots that is for that. If you are to swim, there's an appropriate, what you will wear for swimming is different from what you wear for running, you know, that kind of a thing. So for standing, so he has his own appropriate gear for it. And that is what we're learning today, this morning, that for you to stand. So standing is a very important. People don't give cognizance and importance to standing. People think running, as well, we have to run the race. You know, we have also those words in the scripture, running the race and everything. So everything, run, fight, all those kind of things. It denotes actions, energy, and people are more, you know, they can relate more to that. But for standing, we need to look closely as we are doing this morning on standing. So standing is an important part of our exercise, spiritual exercise, and then we are not just going to stand like that, we are going to stand fully kitted in it, so that it will eventually lead to the prayer.
So you don't pray backwards. Because if you don't stand and you start praying, you pray backwards. That's it. That's why he says, all the reason I've told you about standing, not to give up ground, is simply because I will talk about prayer. That's why we're simply saying this morning that the reason why God couldn't do much with the Israelites in Psalm 78, the Bible says they were turning back. They were praying. They were asking. Can you see they were asking for me? But the Bible says they were going backwards at the same time. They were turning back.
And for people who are really, really agitated, who don't want to work out something, I want to make things happen, and they, please, you have to slow down. You have to stand. Because you are more than cockroach. So the people that are warming up, they feel like fighting for it. They feel like working out, scheming out their own salvation and deliverance. People feel like I want to pay the price. Or I want to pay the full price. Or some, okay, fine. They are accepted. They cannot pay the full price. But let's meet halfway. Let me contribute something. You know, they feel like they want to give dignity and be part of the salvation and deliverance project. You see, the Lord has done it himself, fully himself. He has sorted this out himself.
So you're more than conqueror.
So you're more than conqueror. So please, you have to slow down and you stand. All you need to do is stand. So all your energy, you need to deploy it in standing. So that is what you're saying. So every exercise that is putting you on the move, on the motion, and to work up things, we are trying to rest it on the Lord and to stand in that victory, in that what He has entrusted into you.
Now, thank you for that insight. So, viewers, it means we've come to a point then where we then notice that it's possible to be praying backwards. It means anytime we don't take our stand, and then you see, this is your stand we are talking about. It would mean that. The reason then why God was limited in what He could do in them and through them, in Psalm 78:41, the Bible says because they were turning back. They were not standing. Standing in the very victory that God granted to them when they went through the Red Sea. Standing in the victory that God granted to them when they were baptized into Moses. So what we are talking about is, what is this standing? I mean, how is it that a Christian cannot turn back? In a can prayer then become a tool of turning back? And then it means what we say, what we pray, how we pray, the mentality we have in the place of prayer could be the very thing that drives us backwards. And let's see, don't forget that the reason why we are in this place at the moment, the reason why we are in this particular discussion that we're looking at in regards to not turning back, that please don't forget this. I think we need to highlight something and make it really, really big at this point. The fact is, the turning back that the Bible mentioned was not because they were outrightly, in a way, being disobedient to God, or they said, I think I will not go to, I will not gather with the Israelites anymore. Like you would say, I wouldn't go to church anymore, or I wouldn't do this, or I'm going to start living a life of sin. Please, that's not what we're talking about. The Bible said it was, they prayed, they asked for me. Can you see? It was prayer points, as it were. The act and prayer point then be a means of what? Of rotating back or turning back. So don't forget, it was just prayer point. Now, before we go over, you want to read a verse?
Yes, I just want some people that don't understand what standing is. It's not called to docility and just go and fold your hands. So standing is a state of inactivity, like what you think. And you are wondering, on what platform do we stand on? You know, what ground do we stand on? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 was telling, standing in that liberty, standing in that victory. So you cannot just say, like, just standing in space. You're not standing in space. You're standing in that victory that He has given to you. You are standing because it's like you are kitchen, you know. It's not like a state of docility or of inactivity at all. You're standing on that ground of the liberty. And so it's not just the state of rest, like you might.
Yeah, I mean, there's one thing. You see, standing really is quite a bit more challenging, really, than just getting victory. And there's the reason. Because the enemy will seek to make you shift ground. That's the reason why Ephesians chapter 4 tells us in verse 27, it said, don't give any foothold to the devil. What it would mean then, even when you are standing, there is the devil as well. If not, Ephesians 4:27 wouldn't make sense. So there is you standing. And then verse 27 of Ephesians 4 says, don't give place. In fact, a particular translation says, don't give ground. to the devil. It means you've already what? You've already been given grounds already. That's why you're more than conqueror. You have grounds already. You have grounds. That, for example, how do we know you have grounds? The Bible says that in the name of Jesus, everything is subject to you in His name. That's ground. You didn't pay for that. You didn't achieve that. That's why people can say in Jesus' name and demons have to bow. You didn't achieve that. That was given to you. And the Bible talks about the fact that your needs, it says God shall supply your needs according to His word. It reaches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was a ground that was given to you. You didn't achieve that. You didn't actually do something to achieve that. You have lots of grounds. So much grounds that were given to you. And the Bible says what Satan would do then is to make you shift ground. So the Bible says don't give him
a foothold.
Ground. So that's it. So don't give him ground. But the Bible says, now what is the irony then of the old matter about prayer is that, is it not strange that even people's prayers can actually be the one giving the ground? As the Bible says, Psalm 78, they prayed in Psalm 78, and then that prayer itself is turning back. So we are here today on this knockout series on prayer to say it's high time to stop praying prayers that turn you back. Prayers that that turn people backwards. Stop praying backwards. That's what we're saying. To pray backwards means to give ground to the enemy by the very thing we're saying and by our ideology in the place of prayer. So this is what we see. It says, don't give ground to the devil. Take your stand. It's a warfare. It's a standoff. You see? It's a standoff. Take your ground. It means when the enemy comes to you and tells you that, you need to actually pray about this. You need to pray that God will favor you in 2017 or whatever year. When you pray such prayers, what you are simply saying is, I give up my ground of the fact that the Bible says I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings and what? Available in Christ Jesus. I don't think so. I give up that ground first. Because you need to give up some grounds before you can pray some prayers. I'll say that again. Some Christians unknowingly give up some grounds before they even make some prayer point. Because if not, those prayer points don't make sense. How can you be saying that, Father, I want this year to be the year that you put your favor on my life? Now, that very prayer then suggests automatically that you believe that the fact that Christ was forsaken wasn't because you were accepted.
In other words, that you are giving away the ground of His, that you are the victory in Christ, you're just giving it away.
You just give up the ground.
You're giving it to the devil. So
some very prayers actually means that we're praying backwards. That's what we're saying this morning. From very prayer, for example, if you believe that as a Christian that somebody cursed you, or you believe that curses are reigning in your life, of course, it means you've given up the grounds of Galatians 3:13. You give up the ground. It says Christ became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that is hung on a tree. Mm. So you must have given up that ground before you pray that prayer. Mm. Again, don't forget, we're saying stop praying backwards. Stop praying backwards. That's what we're saying. The Bible said they prayed in Psalm 78:41 and they turned back. How can prayer be a turning back? And that's why it says stop praying backwards. Because if you do, the implication is, the report card of that in verse 41 of Psalm 78 says they turned back and they limited the Holy One of Israel.
So in other words, it means some prayer points are phrased and the mindset that comes with it is just in such a way that it's considered point, giving it to the enemy.
Considered point to the enemy.
So you are giving up some backwards. Points. So some prayer points are by they consider the healing grace and virtue to the enemy and say, enemy, take this. Individually, I feel like some people are walking in their personal salvation, but the healing, they are giving the grants of the healing to the enemy. So all the scriptures about all that He Himself bore our sin on the cross.
No, that's
they consider. Say the enemy.
They consider
the point of compromise. You do it in the business world, and when you cannot win, let's sit down round table and see which one will you give off. Let's meet midway. So some with their journey with the Lord in the place of prayer and with the enemy that is right, that is watching out for this. Mm. So are ready to consider and say, I'm going to walk in the victory of the Lord in some this area. But for this area, maybe my finances, I'm going to concede the enemy. I'm going to concede those points. Mm. Because there is a prosperity point that came with it, the benefit of the cross, The psalmist was talking about it, that it is satisfied, filled my mouth with all good things, my youth being renewed, all those things, and then I'm conceding those points. I say, I'm going to walk in it because the one that it is all my disease. So you might say, I want to walk, the one that saves me, that deliver, that deliver me, you might choose to pick the points. So there are points, if you look at that psalm, there are so many points that comes with it, that comes with the redemption, that comes with this resolution that we're talking about this morning. But you can choose to say, oh, I'm standing on all the grounds and all my points. I'm not giving any out.
In fact, the NIV translation says, don't give a foothold. Now, that's somebody who is very stingy. You need to be stingy with the devil.
Because if you know the exact measurement of foothold.
A foothold is very small. But Paul said by the Holy Ghost, he said, don't even give your foothold. It means be very stingy with the devil. That means don't even concede as small as a foothold. Ah, oh my God, that's serious.
If you remember the whole purpose of the knockout series, and now we started with Colossians, that we will not allow anybody to spoil us. Mm. And that's why we are charging you this morning that you will be in charge of your goods. Be the strong man in charge of your goods. Because when you say the strong man is in charge, all his goods are protected. So make all those points, healing points, all the benefits of Christ, be protected, you know. Have it on your ground that I'm in charge, yeah, and you're not going to concede. Because some people don't have a problem. They actually standing on the ground of the salvation, of their personal salvation. Yes, I believe the Lord, because it's part of the benefit of the cross. Mm-hmm. But they said that is the only one they are standing on. Mm-hmm. So they gave away all the points. So which point are you giving away? Are you giving the healing virtue away? Are you just saying that, oh, I don't mind, but I don't know whatever the devil does with my body or so, I don't care about it as long as I'm saved and I'm going to heaven. It is your choice. It is your choice, and that's why we're charging you this morning that you will not pray backward. You are able to have everything you know. And I say, no, I'm not shifting my foot. Because if you shift a foot on any of those points, you know, you are giving a foothold to the enemy.
Thank you for that. You know, what could be a very strange thing, which actually quite a lot of us encounter today in our prayer life as Christians, is, as you mentioned, it's much more stranger that some people are actually praying about those very things.
Hmm.
Praying for the healing, actually. Praying for the deliverance. That's not even a problem. We have lots of volumes of prayers regarding healing, regarding deliverance. There is no shortage of, I don't think there's a shortage of such prayers.
Mm.
The problem, as it were, is by the very prayers themselves,
so,
we're praying backwards.
Mm.
That's what we're talking about. Stop praying backwards.
Mm.
It means we think, because don't forget this.
Mm.
We all came to this point in Ephesians 6 simply because we're using the case study of the Israelites. And it wasn't us anyway.
Mm.
It was Jesus that took us back to Massah and Meribah in Matthew 4. When Jesus quoted to the devil, thou shalt not test the Lord your God. Jesus told Satan, and I know what you are trying to do with my spiritual life. He told Satan. And when Jesus mentioned that, we look for that verse. Where is that word? Thou shalt not test the Lord your God. And it took us all the way back to Exodus 17. Massah and Meribah, that was where it was. So we began to look at that in context. Now we understand they were praying. They were praying. So it's not about they were not praying, but the Psalm 78 gave us their report sheet. And it said they were praying, but their prayers was going, they were praying backwards, which means somebody praying a prayer, like you're talking about healing. Somebody saying, oh my God, please, will you not heal me? Will you not at least consider me for healing at this moment? Will you not just please have mercy on me and heal me? Now, by that very prayer point, it's a praying backwards. Why did I say that? Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, who in himself bore our sins in his body on what? On the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. It says, by whose stripes ye were healed. That was a ground already given. Past tense, you were healed. That was a ground that was given to you. You are more than conqueror. That is your ground. But now going back to the Father to say, Father, will you please heal me this year? Will simply mean that I'm saying I've considered that ground. I've given up that space. I've given up 1 Peter 2:24. God, please come and heal me again. I've given up for people. Now that's what the Bible says. We must take our what? Our stand. Ephesians 6 then warns us that before we start praying in verse 18, Ephesians 6, 18, it says, stand first. Before we, now, from verse 11 to 17 of Ephesians 6, needs to be what? Actually observed before you can run to verse 18 and start praying. If not, we start praying backwards.
It was good that you mentioned that we don't lack people. Very few people, percentage of people would just say that outrightly discredit that the salvation comes with other benefits and feel like other benefits of healing. There are very few people like that. So actually, the people are praying. They believe in all those things. They believe that all those benefits comes with salvation, that there's a full package. Actually, it shows in their place of prayer. They believe it. They show that they prayed about it. Mm. But the way they pray about it is actually giving, and that is the irony.
That's praying backwards.
Then the way they pray about is even giving those things away.
That's the point.
That is the thing, and that is very sad. And that is what we have come to illuminate and bring the knowledge of God's word.
Stop praying backwards.
To those places so that you not waste your time. You know, that kind of a thing. Because actually you believe in it, you really want to assess it, and yet you are giving the grants away. That is foolishness. And that is why we are correcting that foolishness with the word of God, with the wisdom of God today, this morning. And then I want you to listen, and then go back to it and humility accept.
Now, well, thank you for that. So let's look at something, because again, it was because of Christ Jesus we have come all the way to all these places. Let's see what Satan was trying to do with Jesus. Then, when he was trying to tempt Jesus with his second temptation, he wanted Christ to test his Lord as God. Mm-hmm. And let's see how this applies in context to this Psalm 78, verse 41. You can go to Matthew chapter 4. Now, if you look at that, if you look at the last verse, now before Matthew chapter 4, I wanted to read Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and let's see what that says. Matthew 3, 17.
It reads, Matthew 3, 17.
Yes.
And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased.
Now look at that. You could say that was a ground gained. Christ gained ground with the Father.
Mm-hmm.
With the Father. He gained ground with the Father. The Father accepted him. The Father said, I put my son of approval on you. You are my son. I'm well pleased in you. That was ground gained. Can you see that? Matthew 3, verse 17. Now, if you then look at what the second temptation actually did say, go back to second temptation, which is where we actually veered off about a few transmissions ago. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Now, hold on to that. Matthew 3, 17. See the ground that Christ gained. The Father's acceptance. Look at Matthew 4, few verses after. Go to verse 6 and read it. Matthew 4, 6.
It reads,
few verses after Matthew 3, 17. Watch that.
And said unto him,
yes,
if thou be the Son of God,
yeah,
cast thyself down,
yeah,
for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in thy hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the
stone. So what does verse 7 say then?
Verse 7, Jesus said unto
him. This is Jesus' own perception or understanding of the temptation of Satan. That second temptation. See what it says. What does it say?
Jesus said unto him, it is written again,
mm-hmm,
thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Well, it's written again, you should not test Lord your God. Well, in the summary of that is, here was Satan trying to tell Jesus, test God. And you know what testing God means. Can you confirm whether you are sure that God is with you or not? So what we can simply do is, if you can jump and from the top of the temple, and the angels can show up on your behalf to prevent you from dashing your foot against a stone, then we have evidence automatically that God is what? God is with you. Don't forget, Matthew 3:17 already said that the Father gave me. So it means that that's why Jesus Christ told Satan, that why can you then ask me to experiment or test that which already, I will not give up ground. So every time then that people put God to test, what they are simply doing indirectly is what? Giving up what? Grounds. Christ Jesus would have to give up the grounds of Matthew 3:17 for him to have responded to Satan in Matthew 4:6-7. And because Jesus Christ wasn't willing to give up Matthew 3:17 ground, he decided then not to respond to that temptation. And that's the point we're trying to say this morning. Christ had to have said, well, you know what, I'm not even sure whether he's there with me. I'm not sure that I have his approval in Matthew 3:17. Let me use this jumping down. If the angels show up to prevent my foot from being dashed against a stone, then I'm pretty sure then that God is on my side. Now, Jesus wasn't going to fall for that, and you shouldn't fall for that with the enemy. Every time we actually don't stand our ground, every time we give up ground, that is what it means to be putting God to test. And that ultimately limits what God can do with us and through us. So we have to stop praying backwards.
And if you remember how we started telling you that the moving praying backward is not actually physical, that you are just turning your face to the wall.
It's not a physical turning.
It's not a physical turning. Mm-hmm. And that is why the scripture, like I quoted in the opening verse, now I was talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8, talking about the helmet of say, see to it. Mm-hmm. See to it that you are clear-headed. So see to it in all this, don't be carried away, be sober as you are in the light. You are people of the light. See that you are clear-headed, that you are protected, that more with their helmets of salvation, the hope of the resurrection. So you are covering your head. That is the mentality. So because we started that, we actually did not see them turning backward physically, but in their mind. So the way the prayer points are phrased, you are turning backward, turning your
losing
back.
Losing ground, or giving up ground to the enemy.
Turning your back on all the points that is already gained, that Christ,
gained.
Because, you know, he was tempted at all points, you know, and he never lost ground. So no matter what your temptation is, there is a ground that is already gained.
That's
so every ground
you're
is covered.
More than conqueror.
So every ground is covered, and what that is the good news. Every ground is covered, and so you need to now arm yourself. That's why he said the standing needs to the kit. You need to be in your full gear, and part of the gear is for you to have that element of salvation. And you know, when you're talking about the head, that is the center. You have your mind, emotions, and will. They are all there. So your thinking pattern, you have that element. You must cover. You be fully covered. That's why you should be more covered. You should be more concerned about that than just the physical headgear. You must be concerned about having that this your head is covered. You have your mentality is rested on that finished work, on the salvation, that you have the confidence of your salvation. You have the confidence of the finished work, as the New Living Translation stated it, that is about the confidence of your salvation, the confidence of the hope of resurrection, confidence of the points that he has gained for you on your behalf, that you have it. So you have that. When you have that standing, then you cannot, not any of the prayer that comes out of that can never be, you can never turn your back against those grants.
Because as soon as we begin to turn back, Psalm 78:41 says, we can limit what God can do in us and through us. Who wants to limit God in their life? Nobody wants to. But the Bible says praying backwards does exactly that. It's Psalm 78:41. And that's what we see there in the scriptures. Now, you see, have you noted that today, we've not actually clarified in depth how far can somebody stand? I mean, what does it take to stand? And the reason why you see all this hammer that he says we need to put on is simply because the enemy is going to shoot. The enemy is going to target you and I. And the goal of the devil, because people have this strange belief about Satan, we believe he's invincible. People think that Satan, and actually we wonder whether Christ defeated Satan on the cross. Well, he was defeated. Colossians 2 tells us that having spoiled principalities and powers, Jesus made a public show of them by triumphing over them in it. That's Galatians 2:14. So there's no doubt about the victory of Christ over the devil. So what the devil is actually trying to do is he doesn't deny the grounds that were covered on your behalf. He doesn't deny the grounds that were given to you by the virtue of the death and the resurrection of Christ. Satan has no answer to that. No answer. What does he do then? What it does is to make you shift what?
Ground.
Shift ground. That Bible says, give no foothold. Ephesians 4:27, no place to the devil. If you're going to do spiritual warfare, if you're going to fight at all, the fight that you fight is not to give up what? Any foothold. That's why Ephesians 6 then tells us from verse 10 that we need to put on this hammer, not because we want to look nice. And the people dress now. And the people dress to go to occasions to look really good. People dress to go to a party or go to even church and a place of worship, as it were. We want to look nice. But this one is not to look nice. This is not to make you look great. This one is for you to survive. It's
for protection.
This one is for protection. This one, and we didn't say this one is for victory. We didn't even say this one is for you to actually succeed. We didn't say this one is for you to actually overcome or to actually achieve victory. No. You already got victory. It was given to you through Christ Jesus. This regalia is just for you to take your stand and not lose ground. And the Bible says, well, if somebody loses ground, there's no point for them getting to verse 18 of Ephesians 6 and they want to start praying with all manners of prayer. Because if they pray, you see, anytime people jump from Ephesians 6:10 and they jump all the way to verse 18 without going through verse 10 to 17, they will be praying backwards. And that's why I say, take your stand before you mention prayer. Can you see that? Take your stand first from verse 11 to 17 of Ephesians 6 before prayer came in verse 18. So that's what we're saying today. We've not even begun to look at the specific details of this hammer. And I think that's not our focus for today. There'll be a different day, a different time to look at that in depth. So let's really go through to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and see what the scripture has to say to us regarding this not praying backwards. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. You can read from verse 57, please.
Okay.
So please, you need to stick to us on this knockout series if you want to understand in depth how to take on each of these armor pieces so that you can stand. Unless you stand, and if you pray without standing, you will pray backwards. Psalm 78:41.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 57.
Yes, please.
It reads, but thanks be to God,
okay,
which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Mark the word give. That's a very important word. Can you see? That's what we said. Nobody achieved victory. If anybody claims that they achieved victory, they think, yeah, I think I fasted long enough. Some people say they want to fast their way so that they can actually achieve
victory.
They can achieve dominion over the devil. I say you cannot fast your way to achieve dominion over Satan. That is unscriptural. That is antichrist to think that way. It's antichrist to think you want to fast your way so that you can achieve dominion over Satan. You can't achieve any dominion. Christ achieved dominion, Colossians 2:14 to 16. All the Bible says here, you were given victory. Can you see what it says?
Mm-hmm.
You were given. You were given. It was a benefit of the cross. Psalm 103, David said in Psalm 103, thanks be to God. And Psalm 103, he said, bless the Lord my soul and forget not what?
His
benefits. Who forgives your sins and heals your diseases. Who fills your mouth with good things and your youth is renewed like the eagles. It was the benefit of the cross. Dominion over Satan is a benefit of the cross. Nobody achieves it. I don't care who they are. They're claiming that, you know what, I've achieved this level of authority over the devil because I've prayed and I've fasted. That's a life of that's a life on the pit of hell. The Bible says in Corinthians 15:57, we were given victory. And that's what the Bible says. Nobody can boast about it. See, nobody can boast. 1 Corinthians 6 says, there's nothing you have that you have not received. Nobody can boast about this because we are given. Whether the weakest of Christians or the strongest of Christians, the most immature Christian, the most matured Christian, we're all given victory. And that puts everybody on the same level playing ground. We were given victory. That's what it says there. Can you see? So please let that word given be so magnified in your sight. It said, thanks be to God who gives us. That's the word, sure. Gives. It was given. Victory was given. It was never achieved by anyone. Now go on, please.
Verse 58.
Now look at verse 58. This is where we are going to zero in on. What does it say there?
Therefore,
therefore means, enough of this teaching and talking about Christ gave us victory. What should I do with it? What am I going to do with the victory? What am I going to do with it? That's what verse 58 will tell. He said, therefore, what are you going to do with the victory? What's the implication of that victory? Look at verse 58.
Therefore, my beloved brethren,
okay,
be ye steadfast.
Okay, go on.
Unmovable.
Stop that. No shifting of ground. That's what he's saying. No shifting of ground. No movement now. He said, unmovable. Take your stand. No yielding any ground to the devil. No giving up of space. No giving up. That's unmovable. Don't even shift your ground. Now, it means, for you to believe in verse 58, it means you go back to verse 57. It means the reason why I said don't shift your ground is because you've already covered so much ground that was given to you. Too much ground. Too much ground on every aspect of your life. So much ground we already covered for you, and it was now delivered to you and given to you. And now it is given to you, it said, be unmovable. Don't even be like a statue. That's the word. Be like a statue. He said, don't even shake. Don't even move. But like I said, prayers that we pray can actually make us go backwards. He said, that's what we say on this transmission. Don't pray backwards. Don't pray backwards. He says, if you actually shift ground and then you are praying, you're praying backwards.
Yeah, but we had something there because it's very interesting to see this and it's mind-boggling to see that unmovable. So it's just saying no provision for shuffling of gates. And the verses that I've quoted before, all those first territories, we see the consistency of the scriptures. You know, this thing running throughout the theme, all through the scripture, was telling you that be clear-headed, be sober, you know, because if you are drunken, if you are not clear-headed, sober, you have the drunken gates. You know, steady, we see imbalance, you try to stand balance and coordination with drunken state. So you need your clearness to be sober, you know, to be unmovable, no shoveling of gates. Because, you know, you can stand and be like this, unsteady on your feet. You can't afford to do that, because if you do that, you are shifting the ground. You are shifting on the points that is already, on the victory points that is already gained. So you need your clear-headedness, you need to be sober, you need to be alert, you know, that kind of thing. You cannot afford to close your eyes. And that is what the thing, and that is why it's telling you that this standing is like a warfare position, is a warfare strategy. It's a warfare, because of what use is the you getting dispossessed of the trophy you already have? Because you need this mentality, you need this position, spiritual position, for you to be able to take a guide, say, so that you can protect, stay protected, the guide of that trophy in your hand. So of what use is that benefit? Somebody gave something to you and you could not keep it. So for you to be able to keep what is yours that he has given unto you, because we've established how he led you in triumphant possession, how he has given the victory, for you to keep it and make it yours, eternally yours, you have to stand your ground. And standing your ground, you need to be kitted, wearing all the full armors, and be unsteady, at least be unmovable. You know, you have
be
to
like
be steady.
A statue.
Be a statue. That's
no
the
giving
thing.
Up ground.
No shuffling. Be clear-headed. Be sober. Be alert. Watching now. Devil wants to pull you away. From that standpoint of the liberty, from the ground, the platform of the ground of the liberty and the victory of Jesus.
And thank you for that. Now let's say this. I think then, before prayer can then make sense for a Christian, before prayer will not become a tool of going backwards? Or should we say, before a Christian can successfully stop praying backwards, it would mean then you have to be able to list out the grounds that were gained in Christ.
Mm.
You have to list out the grounds that were gained. Yeah. Now, the reason you need to list out the grounds that were gained is because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57, those grounds were given to you. It said, thanks be to God who gives us. Can you see? Who has given us victory in Christ Jesus. I'm quoting 1 Corinthians 15:57. So you have to be able to then say specifically what the grounds are. That's why the psalmist, even in the old covenant, in the old covenant, when even Christ had not come to die and resurrect, the psalmist looked forward and began to count the grounds. He said, bless the Lord, my soul. Psalm 103. He said, bless the Lord.
You read it.
No, okay.
Because there is no way. How can you keep what you don't even know about? You know, that's
the
knowledge of you. How can you be able to keep, you know, take stock when you don't even really know what it is?
Not taking stock. If you continue to pray, you'll be praying backwards.
Yes, so you need to take stock and know what it is. So you better be on the lookout and be watchful so that you don't lose the grant. And the Psalm 103, we do need to read it.
Yes, you can read, please.
Psalm 103 verse 1 reads, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Mm-hmm. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
Well, that's counting the grounds. Can you see that?
It is all. Do not forget all.
Can you see that? Now, you see, the reason why I said all is simply because for some of us, there are times we actually stand some ground based on what Christ paid for with his life, with his blood, and with his sacrifice. But at times we concede some other grounds. It means, but this one says, this particular psalmist, he seems to be very stingy with the devil. He says, what? He said, I'm not going to yield all of them. He said, all of his benefits, can you see? Not some of them, all of his benefits. And that's why he's saying that.
And if I want to link it to our viewers, if you remember yesterday, the problem was that they forgot. So, and that's why the psalmist is reminding himself that the only way that I will not pray backward is for me not to forget.
Mm.
And so he's quickening himself in remembrance. I say, do not forget. Because if you forget,
and
that
you
means,
continue to pray.
Yes. You have considered the point.
You pray considering point. And even your prayer point by themselves, according to Psalm 78:41, could be turning back.
I see for everything, this verse 3 is so loaded because you were saying pleasure. And the whole thing of how you can hold all your points together, how you can hold all these victory points together is about not forgetting. And so, and that is what happened to the children of Israel, like we saw yesterday, they did not remember. That is the thing. So everything is about just remembering this. And that is why, I don't know if we could have this in the New Covenant sense, in the Old Testament dispensation.
Yeah. David was a prophet. He was prophetic.
This is having New Covenant sense in the Old Testament days. Some people are in the New Covenant days where they're having Old Testament sense.
Well, that's ironic because that's kind of ironic.
They are living with Old Testament sense in the New Covenant days.
We have
days.
Some Old Testament saints who actually were able to, you know, steer into the future and take hold of New Covenant. And we have New Covenant Christians who are looking backwards to the Old Covenant. What a kind of irony.
That you can live in a dispensation. People are in New Covenant days and they are working with the Old Covenant sense. But you see,
a Old Covenant person
Working with the New Covenant sense. Because you know that he's forgetting, he's just losing the ground. If you forget everything he has done, if you forget what he has accomplished through his sacrifice, say, bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. You know, then the emphasis is on all.
Yeah.
Because some people are ready, they understand only one benefit.
They're not willing to yield ground to that one benefit.
They are living their life as if it just only can accomplish one. So the choice of which of the one is different, but some are living their life running off with just only one benefit. They thought he only did one. But this man understood then that all of his benefits. So it depends on you, which one do you want to, take advantage of all the benefits or just want one or none at all? Some are even not taking advantage as if Christ had not done anything.
And they're praying. Now don't forget, they are praying. You can pray prayers that make you, you can pray backwards, which means you are asking or you are saying, God, are you not seeing me or this? And you can actually pray. And pray backwards. That's
so
what
verse 3:4-5 reads, who forgives all the iniquities, that is the one, who heals all their diseases, too. So people that wonder if healing is part of today, you can see that. Just run to Psalm 103 verse 2, verse 3. Forgiveness, salvation is there. Forgiveness of all iniquities, because some people, it covers all their iniquities. So it's not some part of the sin or some disposition of sin.
Some do believe that all the sins they committed before they got born again is the one that God has forgiven. That the one that they actually, if they actually fall into any sin after, then they have to do a lot of convincing God to forgive them.
Yes, all. Even sins that people have not, humanity has not even thought or dreamt of committing. The one that has not happened, it is covered here, because all is all.
Mm.
Unless you have another meaning for what all is.
Mm.
All thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So diseases that does not have name is covered here.
All.
It is all.
That's important, because some people believe that when Jesus paid and he, by the stripes of Christ, were healed, well, that's headache and malaria and some other kind of fever. But there's a cancer. Cancer. Or some other kind of, we say maybe somebody has even HIV or so, that's incurable. They say, no, that's an exception to redemption. No.
Even the one that humanity has not experienced.
That's what it says. It says, this man is not going to give up any ground.
Hmm.
Now, this is how we should be greedy with the grounds that Christ has given to us. That we are more than conquerors. We didn't achieve any ground. We were given grounds. 1 Corinthians 15:57.
So yeah. It's just like, are you prepared to protect your hall?
Mm.
You know, he died for all. He did not die for some, just one part. He died for all. So it depends on you. Do you want to protect the whole, the points, all the victory points that he has given, he has considered for you? So verse 3, who forgive all thy iniquity, who heal all thy diseases. Verse 4, who redeemed thy life from destruction. So you have salvation, you have deliverance. Who crowned thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. So you have eternal favor. So you can't be praying for favor. You know, favor and mercy, goodness and mercy, they stalk you. They
so
follow you.
Imagine
all
you trying to attend a church service. Convention, a church service, and they said, this is the year to actually go and claim God's favor. Or this is the time for you to pray for God to favor you. Well, for
tender
you to pray such prayers, you've already considered grounds here. You've already given up this ground. You must have given up this ground to pray such prayers, praying backwards.
Because you already crowned you. You already is a crown on you, you know. You are dignified with it. You know, let's go back to that verse. He said, who crowned you? It's not that they just throw it about you. There was a coronation for this loving kindness on you. It was not thrown at you there like shabbily. So there was an event. You are crowned with it. It is like a crown, you know, the way you wear crown. So this loving kindness and goodness that we're talking about is a crown on your head. So how can you forget that? It was not just done hurriedly. It was not done at the backyard of anything. So this loving kindness we're talking about is about you are crowned with it. You wear it. It's your statue, you know, your status symbol on you. That is how the loving kindness of the Lord is about, is on you. It's on you. So how can somebody make you forget that? How can you ever run to a place that rubbish that and make you to be asking for what is already on you as a crown?
When you pray such prayers, you're praying backwards.
Backwards.
That's what you're doing, praying backwards. That's it.
And then, who satisfy their mouth with good things, not just filling your mouth with anything that is available. With good things, so you'll be satisfied with good things. You are eating what is right. You have what is coming out of your mouth is right. Who satisfy their mouth with all good things. And your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you are talking of prosperity, you know, that
freshness.
Is vibrating in your life. The freshness of grace, you know, freshness of ideas. You have your usefulness, you know, you have it. And that is all those points, all of this. I just want you to take stock today to be able to go into this. We are just using Psalm 103. So if you run through all the epistles, you see all those points. You know,
said,
we can't.
My beloved, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be unmovable. From what? Verse 57 says that what? It said God has given us what? Victory in Christ Jesus. That's 1 Corinthians 15:57. And verse 58 says, my brethren, be unmovable. Don't yield the ground now. Don't give up ground. Things will happen to you. Things will attack you. People will attack you. Something will happen around your life. Circumstances will take place around you. But don't use that as a basis. Then to go to God in the place of prayer and start praying backwards, in which you start praying prayers that by their very nature concedes ground to the enemy. And now we see, in a nutshell, we see the reason why Psalm 78:41, in a summary, said the reason why God was limited with what he could do with them in Psalm 78:41. The Bible says they turned back. And how did they turn back? Psalm 78 verse 18 says they were actually praying. How can you be praying and be turning back? He said they were praying. And the very prayer was actually turning back for them. So it means it's possible to pray backwards. And we have come today to say it's time to stop praying backwards.
Yes, we just use Psalm 103 to just show you some example of all these benefits, all the victory points that were gained for you. that were given to you, thrown at you, crammed, that you are crammed with. So you just take your time off this week and forever to be looking at all these things. Go through the scriptures, go through the New Testament to know all these things, itemize all these things yourself. And then, because some people are running off, you know, running off with just one of the benefits. They only discover one benefit, or they just only understood one benefit. They actually have a mental asset that every other thing were given with Christ. But the way they pray, just like we said today, they were just running off on one. So we have been encouraged today to be like David. At least show your understanding like David in this regard, in this aspect of the understanding that he had of Psalm 103, mentioning the hall and hall. There's so many hall, all of diseases, all of this that is already covered. So you don't run off with one, because people are ready, they are warming up to run off. But we are learned we learn today to stand. Standing that you don't need to run off with one, standing to protect. You know, to protect all these points, that if you take time to list them, stand on it. You know, stand on this thing and see that you're not going to shift ground. You're not to shuffle your gait. You're not going to be unsteady. You know, you're going to be sober, clear-headed. Just like 1 Thessalonians say, clear-headed, not like a drunken person, knowing that you're in the light. You're of the light. Because in darkness, you don't see things on your ground. So that is why you stay in the light. So that when you're in the light, you'll be able to see very well. So when you'll be able to see, you maintain your position. So maintaining victory position, that is what we're saying. Because if you do not maintain it, your prayers will be turning back. And then when you are praying, you are turning back on all these victory points. You are turning back and saying, no, they are disregarding, running away from what he has given you.
Praying
and
backwards.
That is what we charge you with this morning, that you will not pray backward. And so for time, we will not be able to continue.
Yeah, no, we're going to round up now. But let us Let's say this. The fact is, the reason why it says steadfast and unmovable in 1 Corinthians 15:58 is simply because the enemy will actually come. Things will happen. Your circumstances will dictate otherwise. We're not simply saying we're not understanding what's happening. We know that. In fact, if there was no circumstance that would run contrary to the victory of Christ in your life, it wouldn't say be unmovable. The word unmovable doesn't make sense. If it's not that the fact that things will happen, circumstances will take place, and those things will actually try to tell you, you see what? Are you sure you have victory in Christ? The evidence of your life, your circumstances doesn't confirm that. There's no victory for you. So the Bible says, that's why he said, be unmovable. Because he knows that things will happen around you otherwise. But means you have to say, well, I know what was gained. I know what was given to me. And I'm not going to shake myself. I'm not going to shake out of it. I'm going to stop praying backwards. And that's what we're talking about this morning.
So if you have the time, thanks for joining us this morning for this transmission, and we trust the Lord. We hope you have been blessed by it. So if you have the time and the opportunity, we told you yesterday, there's another live transmission that will kick off by 11 or 11:30. And if you are physically in that area, Lancashire, we're having a ministration there this morning. So you can join us, and we hope we'll be able to do the live transmission. If you missed any
today.
Of those today, if you missed any of those, and maybe you could not join the live transmission, you can get back to the page. It will be in the page later in the day, so you can get what we meet. And you know that there is one that you need to listen to. We're talking about what was the title? Cheat the System and Live Off Somebody Else's Account. It is something you need to learn to listen to, especially this weekend. There is a bit of time to be able to work on this resurrection and be able to use the Christ account instead of living on your own account. So if you any of those things, you can join us for them. And so next week, 7 p.m. UK time, we'll continue our expose on knockout series. We start 71st episode. And so on Sunday again, 9 a.m. UK time, we are going to continue. So if any of this speaks to you and blesses you, please leave the truth and share it with all your contacts. And should you have any questions and comments, please drop it at the page and the clarifications. And for those who have been giving the encouraging word, who has been asking questions and everything, want to say thank you and keep it coming. So we see you 11 a.m. UK time, whichever time you are able to join. We want to say stand your ground, be unmovable.
And stop praying backwards.
Thank you. Bye.